week, Chunkley's Stores.
Yum, yum!
Chunkley's Stores in Courtfield was run the lines of the big stores in London. They had innumerable departments and innumerable telephone lines. They did not say, hello, like common mortals when the bell rang. They said, Chunkley's Stores, and then took a rest. Billy Bunter was about to pull off the most brilliant wheeze ever planned at Greyfriars School. He was in his form master's study, using his form master's telephone, and about to imitate his form master's voice.
Chunkley's Stores.
Hello. I'm speaking from a Greyfriars School. A few weeks ago, I telephoned an order for Tuck.
For what?
Tuck.
Did you say luck, sir?
No, I said Tuck, tarts, cakes, things like that. Oh, and it was my nephew. He came here to visit me. This is Mr. Quelch speaking.
Billy Bunter was imitating the voice of the remove master, Mr. Quelch, and in that line at least, Bunter had some gifts. He made his voice quite like enough to Mr. Quelch's to pass on the telephone.
Mr. Squelch.
No, Quelch.
Oh, Welsh. Yes, sir. What can we do for you, Mr. Welsh?
Quelch!
Quite so, sir. I remember the order.
Good. Now, I require some more things, and in rather a hurry, I'm standing a spread.
What?
I mean, I'm asking some juniors to tea, and I require a large quantity of things to be delivered immediately.
Oh, I'm afraid the afternoon vans have left, sir.
No, it's very important. I simply must have the things this afternoon. Expense is no object.
That was quite a true statement. Expense was no object to Bunter. Possibly Mr. Quelch might have taken a different view.
That will be special delivery, sir.
It's all right. Now, come along. Take down the list. 2 dozen...
I'll put you through to the confectionery department, sir.
Hey.
If you mention that you desire special delivery, the goods will be specially delivered this afternoon. Chunkley Stores?
Mr. Quelch, speaking from Greyfriars, I require goods by special delivery this afternoon. I want a large cake.
Oh, that'll be the ironmongery department, sir.
The what?
Rakes are in the ironmongery department, sir. Hold the line, I'll put you through.
No, not rakes, cakes!
But it was too late. The prompt and efficient man at Chunkley's Stores was already putting him through to the ironmongery department. They never wasted a second at Chunkley's.
Chunkley's Stores.
Right, now, I want to order cakes.
Oh, I'm sorry, this is not the department, sir. Ironmonger.
Oh, blow you!
What?
The silly idiot thought I said rakes when I said cakes. I want cakes! Cakes! I want cakes!
Please hold the line, sir. I will put you through to the confectionery department.
You finished, caller?
Who's that?
The operator. Are you finished, caller?
No, I'm not. I'm being started.
Chunkley Stores.
Is that the confectionery department?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yippee!
Bunter had got home at last. In spite of the absolutely modern and efficient equipment of Chunkley's Stores, he really was on, at last, to the right quarter.
Mr. Quelch speaking from Greyfriars School. I require special delivery this afternoon.
Delivery orders to the special delivery department, sir.
What?
If you kindly hold the line, I'll put you through.
Oh, crikey!
Bunter waited again. He was perspiring a little, and he felt that he was earning that spread when he got it.
Chunkley Stores.
Is that the special delivery department?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Quelch speaking from Greyfriars. I require special delivery this afternoon of some confectionery and all sorts of things.
Very good, sir. If you'll kindly state...
Take down the list.
Certainly, sir.
I want 3 dozen tarts. I want 1 large cake. Oh, with marzipan on top. And I want 3 dozen meringues.
Yes, sir. Is that all, sir?
No. It is not all. Not by any means. I want...
Bunter was really going at it now. Doubtless on the principle that it was as well to be hung for a sheep as for a lamb. He continued giving reckless orders for all the good things he could think of.
A huge bowl of blancmange and a dozen donuts.
Is that all, sir?
Yes. And you will, of course, send the account later on to Mr. Quelch. I mean to me.
Quite so, sir. I recall that you gave similar instructions before. Is that all, sir?
That is all.
The Owl of the Remove went into study number 7. Peter Todd had just risen from the table. His extensive transactions in lines were completed at last. He glanced at Bunter's grinning, complacent face.
You're looking very chirpy, old fat man. Postal order come?
Oh, better than that. The tuck's come.
What tuck?
From Chunky's.
Great. Pip, you really did it.
The man's putting it in Quelch's study now.
Peter Todd gazed at him. Possibly Peter had supposed hitherto that there was a limit to Bunter's fatuousness. If so, he discovered now that his supposition was a mistake.
You really mean that you phoned to Chunkley's using Mr. Quelch's name? And they've delivered the goods? And the stuff's in Quelch's study now? Oh, my only sainted aunt, you're for it this time.
Oh, no, I'm not. Look, the delivery man's gone now, so why don't you go and get the stuff out of Quelch's study? And then I'll let you have your whack.
I'm going to Quelch's study. I've got to take in my lines. They're just due. Quelch told me you had to have them by tea time.
Well, that's all right then, isn't it? I mean, leave your lines there when you bag the stuff. I'll meet you on the stairs and help you get it into the box room. I mean, it's going to be safer there than in the study. You know, a lot of greedy fellows might want some if they saw it. I can't stand greediness.
What am I going to say to Quelchy?
Oh, Quelchy's out, you fatty.
Oh, no, it'll be in now.
What?
You left this game rather too late, Bunter. Quelchy's back.
Quelchy back?
He told me that if my info wasn't in by 5:30, it would be doubled.
But, oh, you just leave it on the table. I mean, we always do that. I tell you, Quelchy's out.
I tell you, he's in. Didn't I tell you I had to hand in these lines by tea time?
But I heard him ask Mr. Prout to take roll call for him. Roll call's not till 7:30.
That's because he's dining with the head.
Dining with the head?
Yes, ass. Quelch is back.
Oh, crikey!
Mr. Quelch stepped in at the doorway of the house and removed his silk hat. Then he headed for his study. At the corner of Master's Passage, he was confronted by the portly bulk of Mr. Prout, the master of the 5th.
Quelch, if you have a moment, please. there is a circumstance. I feel it my duty to mention to you, my dear Quelch.
Yes?
During your absence this afternoon, my dear Quelch, I found a boy of your form surreptitiously entering your study.
Indeed.
Yes, and the boy was Bunter. I mention the circumstance, sir, as I have no doubt that the young rascal was purposing to play some trick. And indeed he may have returned to do so when my observation was withdrawn. Yes,
thank you for mentioning it, Mr. Prout.
No, not at all. Any slight service to my colleague, I mean especially an esteemed colleague such as your goods.
Mr. Quelch was walking on. So Mr. Prout stopped. Otherwise, he would have been wasting his sweetness on the desert air. Mr. Quelch entered his study.
Bless my soul.
He looked at his study table. It was covered from end to end with boxes, cartons, bags and packets. They were piled high into a huge pyramid. Boxes of chocolates, boxes of creams, cakes and tarts and buns, ginger and ginger beer, all sorts of things such as might have made Mr. Quelch's mouth water 40 years ago, but 40 years on made a lot of difference. Mr. Quelch's mouth did not water now. It set in a tight line and his eyes glinted.
Bunter! Bunter's wanted! Bunter! Anybody seen a fat pig rooting about? Where's that whistling porker, Bunter?
Hello, hello, hello. You're wanted, old fat bean.
Oh, I say, Cherry. I mean, Well, why? Who do you think wants me? I say, whoever it is, he can't be Quelchy, you know. No. I mean, what would he want me for?
Fathead.
I don't see why Quelchy should suspect me. I think it's just a rotten, low, suspicious mind.
I'm gonna say, go, you ass. Do you want Quelchy to come up here for you?
Oh, Lord.
Bunter dragged himself along to the removed master's study. The door was open. Mr. Quelch was standing there with a cane in his hand. His eyes glittered at the sight of the owl of the remove.
Come in, Bunter.
Yes, sir.
Now, Bunter.
I didn't, sir.
What?
I wasn't.
What do you mean, Bunter?
I'm innocent, sir.
Bunter?
Oh, I hope you can take my word for it, sir. I never did anything of the sort, sir. I have been out of gates all afternoon, and I certainly never touched a telephone, sir.
Well, no, the telephone.
Yes, sir. Some fellows do use a master's phone when he's out, sir. Not me, sir. No, I wouldn't. The fact is, sir, I hardly know how to use a telephone. No, and I definitely don't know Chunkley's number, sir. I hope you believe me, sir.
Believe you?
Yes, sir. Can I go now, sir?
No, Bunter, you may not go.
Oh, crumbs.
I was about to inquire, Bunter, whether you had been guilty of the outrageous trick that was played here this afternoon.
Oh.
I had very little doubt, Bunter, but it was my intention to inquire very thoroughly before administering punishment. Inquiry, however, would now be superfluous, as you are condemned out of your own mouth.
Not at all, sir. No, sir.
You telephoned to Chunkley's stores upon this instrument this very afternoon.
Oh, no, sir. No. I was in my study at the time, sir.
At what time?
About 4 o'clock. Oh, no! Oh, no! I mean, oh!
You used my name in ordering a large quantity of goods from Chunkley's stores?
Your name? Your name?
Mine? It was your intention to consume, I should say devour, to devour this unhealthy mass of foodstuffs. Only my fortunate return prevented you from carrying out your iniquitous scheme.
Bunter could not see anything fortunate about the Four Masters' return. From his point of view, it was distinctly unfortunate.
What have you to say, Bunter?
I'm quite innocent, sir. I'm innocent, totally and utterly innocent, sir. I'm as innocent as a babe in arms.
Do you deny entering my study?
I certainly do, sir.
Mr. Prout saw you coming to my study in a surreptitious manner.
Mr. Prout must have been mistaken, sir. You know what an old donkey Mr. Prout is, sir.
Well, yes, you mean... But Bunter...
I wasn't doing anything surreptitious, sir. No, I've never done anything surreptitious in my life. Oh, syrup. Oh, I know. Perhaps Mr. Prout had been drinking, sir.
Drinking?
Yes, sir. You know how people think they see all sorts of things when they've been drinking, sir.
You insolent young rascal. How dare you make such iniquitous suggestions? Your punishment will be all the more severe for your insolence.
Oh, Lord!
I shall cane you, Bunter, with the utmost severity.
Oh, Christ.
I shall give you 20 strokes.
Yarrow!
If you were not the most crassly, obtuse, and stupid boy at Greyfriars, I should take you to the head and request him to expel you from the school. Bend over that chair, Bunter.
Oh, no.
Bunter fairly goggled at him through his big spectacles. It has fallen to Billy Bunter's lot more than once to take 6 bending over a chair, but 20.
Do you hear me, Bunter?
Bunter heard him. Dozens of fellows heard him, for that matter. Mr. Quelch's voice was both loud and deep, and the study door was open. But though Bunter heard him, he heeded not.
Bunter, I command you.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Quelch made a stride towards Bunter, evidently intending to grasp him and bend him over the chair. Bunter jumped back into the passage. It was not his will that acted, it was instinct. His fat body carried on, as it were, without waiting for the direction of his fat mind.
Bunter!
Quelch strode after Bunter, the cane in the air.
Bunter!
Bunter was gone. You've been listening to Billy Bunter by Frank Richards with Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden and Bilotti. The producer was Melanie Miller. Billy Bunter is a Rewind production for Radio 2.